I think sometimes the songs that we sing put life into perspective. Be to our God forever and ever. He never changes. Isn't that a great thing to know? It's such a good thing, especially in times like this, to know that He is still on the throne. He is still sovereign over all things. There's nothing at all that ever takes God by surprise, and I'm so thankful for that. Before we dive into Jonah this morning, I do want to bring a need before you, a prayer need and a help need. As you maybe have heard recently, we are trying to find a new children's director. That has not been going as well as we had hoped. We're not finding an individual that's willing to fill in that position. We're trying to do some things maybe to be a little creative. Maybe God has been working on your heart to be a part of our Rooted program, to maybe take on some leadership roles. Please come talk to either myself or Gretchen. We would love to have those conversations with you. But if God is not leading you to be involved in that level, please pray with us that God would bring the right individual. You know, it's interesting because part of what we know is in Luke 10:2, is pray to the Lord of the harvest to send forth workers. And that's what we are asking for. Is we often use that as missions, but that goes into all ministries within the church. So pray with us for that need. And if God lays it on your heart to be a part of that, please come and talk to us as well. We'd love to have that conversation. All right. How would you define rock bottom? Anybody ever been to rock bottom? A couple. You know, each one of us would probably define it a little bit different, or we would have a different perspective on what it is. But usually, I think if you were to say rock bottom is that place where you are at the lowest of lows, you can't see any way out of it, it is the end of it all, right? Kind of describes it well. You may have been there, you may have experienced that, maybe you're there now, or maybe you're sensing that you're getting close to it. There are times in lives that we kind of go through this cycle of things are really good, we're experiencing the joy of life, and then all of a sudden it just kind of goes downhill, and then all of a sudden you're at a place where you feel, I can't go any lower. Sometimes in those moments, what happens? But one of the things that we see is what I would say is probably the most rock bottom moment that you could consider. Now, the story of Jonah, and we're going to look and read it in just a moment, but Jonah, starting at chapter 1, verse 17, and through chapter 2, is probably the most impossible story that you can read. As a matter of fact, this is the moment in the story of Jonah that most people struggle with. This is the part of Scripture where people have come to this understanding to say, you know what, I cannot believe this because this is just too far-fetched. In verse 17, we read that it says that God sent a great fish, swallowed Jonah, and he was in the belly of the whale for 3 days. This is one of those moments where it's very easy to say, this isn't truth. This can't be truth. This doesn't happen. A fish just does not come and swallow a person whole, and the person survives. Now, fish can swallow a person whole. But as far as I know, I tried to do a little bit of research on the internet to find out if anybody else other than Jonah had ever been swallowed by a fish and survived to tell the story. Apparently there is one individual, but the story is under speculation. Other than that, there's nothing out there to show that a person can be, well, that takes us to the point where then people start speculating as to, well, if this is true, because this is God's word and we believe God's word to be true, how did this happen? So you have some that will say, well, God provided a whale. A lot of times in our stories, we come to this place where it's a whale, right? And why would we say it's a whale? Because a whale is a mammal and a mammal needs air. So what the story would be is that the whale came, swallowed Jonah whole, and would have to resurface every once in a while to replenish the oxygen that the mammal needed, and therefore Jonah was just in the right place, and he got the oxygen as well. Now, we have such a beautiful picture of this story, don't we? Remember when you were a kid and you were coloring the little coloring pages, and there was a table and a lantern in the belly of the whale? I think I might have even colored one time where there was a picture hanging. I don't know. But you can imagine this was not a very nice thing, if that's what it was. But so, you know, the first one, it was a mammal that breathed air and it worked. Okay. Some others have tried to say, well, you know what? As a matter of fact, if you read, so actually read with me, because before I tell you the second one, I want you to read and see if you can pick it out here as well. Jonah chapter 1, starting at verse 17. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, 'I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple.' The engulfing waters threatened me, and the deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayers rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land." What an incredible story. So the first idea was that, you know, it was a whale or something along those lines. When you read in this, some have tried to say that actually what the understanding is that Jonah actually died, because he talks about going down to the deep, the losing and to the depths of death and all of that. And so some have tried to suggest that actually Jonah died, and it was another Lazarus moment where God raised Jonah then from the dead as he was spit out on the dry land. I struggle with that one, okay, for my own reasons, but that's one of the thoughts. One of the other thoughts that has become somewhat popular was that God created a specific creature just for this moment, kind of like a Loch Ness monster that no one ever sees. But he created something that was done specifically to swallow Jonah, keep Jonah alive, and then nobody ever sees this creature again. Remember, we are dealing with God. God parted the Red Sea. God did all kinds of things. Could God create a creature that no one ever saw? Sure he could. Possibility. One I heard that I kind of got a kick out of, it was a more recent one, was that God somehow created a submarine type thing that came up, and Jonah was in the belly of a machine, kind of like a submarine, and then it just disappeared after that. I find that one a little bit far-fetched, but again, we're dealing with God, who loves far-fetched. Whatever you choose to decide, that's not the point. What we see here is that Jonah is in the belly of a whale according to Scripture. And we see that this is the moment that Jonah is at rock bottom. Again, we can look at this and go from our glasses of when we were a child and go, this would have been a really neat experience, you know, because everything was beautiful. Everything was nice according to what we pictured as children. But when you consider this moment, Jonah had to have been fearing for his life. He thought he was done, as he was sinking to the bottom and he couldn't control. I mean, think about when he uses the words that the seaweed was wrapped around my head and it was dragging me under. That doesn't sound like a guy that's going, hey, this is going to be a great ride. He knew death was coming. And in this moment, we see a very important principle, or three important principles, of what we do in the midst or in the bottom. Now, I can be honest with you, I've never been in the belly of a whale. There's times that I felt I was at that place in life, and probably all of us have been there. The question is, what did we do in those moments? We can look at Jonah, and we can see some things that Jonah did, and then we can take those and say, in the moments that we are in our darkest hours, what can we do? The first thing is very simple, and actually it's what is common for us. Jonah does it. He just simply cries out to God. That's what he says. Right there in verse 2, it says that he cried out to God and he listened to his cry. It's a normal thing to do. We actually see this throughout Scripture. The children of Israel made this a common practice. One of the things, if you read the Old Testament, you would find that the children of Israel had this cycle of life that they would go through. Everything would be great. They'd be living their life. They would forget about God. Then it says that they would do what was right in their own eyes, or evil in the eyes of God. So God would provide then a nation that would take them into captivity. Everything would become bad. They would all of a sudden be down in the very bottom. And when they were at the very bottom, what did the children of Israel do? They cried out to God. in the bottom of it is when they realized that they had run and walked so far away from God that they would go into this moment of crying out to God. I don't know about you, but that's a very easy thing for us to do. Once we hit rock bottom, we tend not to do it until we hit the bottom, though, right? But when we hit the bottom is when we realize, I've got nothing else that I can do. And so I'm going to cry out to God. David the psalmist in Psalm 57, verse 2, he simply says it this way. He says, I cry out to God Most High, to God who vindicates me. See, crying out is an important part of coming out from the bottom. We have this saying in our life that basically is, when I hit the bottom, grab yourself by the bootstraps and pick yourself up. There's a problem with that statement, though. You know what that problem is? You can't do it. Have you ever tried to pick yourself up by your bootstraps by yourself? You can pick your boot up, but you can't pick yourself up. And so really this idea is when we come to this, we can't do it on our own. We are completely dependent upon God. We realize that we are dependent upon Him. Again in 2 Samuel, this is David again in 2 Samuel chapter 22. And he says in verse 7 these words, in my distress I called to the Lord. I called out to my God. From his temple he heard my voice. My cry came to his ears. I really like this verse for one particular reason. Wording is always a great aspect of Scripture. You see, not only does David say, I cried out to the Lord, but look at what he says there. I called out to my God. My God. That is such an important part of this. It's not just that God is this cosmic fixer, the holy mechanic of life. This is a relationship that David is saying, I've kind of gone to this place where this relationship maybe has become extended, therefore I need to come back in. This is my God. When you were growing up as a kid, I know where I was as a kid, whenever something would go wrong, who did you go to? Dad, right? Most of us went to Dad. Now, I realize in some scenarios that wasn't possible. But in my life, one of the things, if there was ever an issue, the one person that I would go to was my dad. Why? Because he was my dad. And you know, the reality is, as I got older, I realized my dad couldn't do everything. There were other people that probably could have done some of the things that I needed Dad to do much better than my own dad could have. But because he was my dad, I would go to him for the help that I needed. And this is what the psalmist says. Cry out to your God. Because understand what it means when we cry out to God. This is the moment where we come before the holy, perfect, matchless God and say, here I am. I can't do it anymore. And you know what? I believe that God loves that moment. When His children come to Him and say, I'm done trying it on my own. I'm coming to you. I need you. I need your help. Cry out to God, the one who loves you unconditionally. I don't know where you are this morning as far as situations in your life. Maybe you're dealing with a darkness of the soul that nobody knows. Maybe you're on your way there, or maybe you're coming out of it. Let me encourage us in this one. God loves it when His children cry out to Him. Don't stop there. You see, Jonah doesn't just sit there in the belly of the whale and cry out to God going, oh, woe is me, God. This is horrible. This smells, it stinks, it's slimy, life is horrible. How could I, all this? He doesn't just cry out to God. Notice what he does next. In Jonah's prayer, in verse 9, Jonah says these words, but I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. Wow, do you get that? Jonah is in probably the smelliest place in the world. He's not seeing anything because it's dark. He is basically figuring that he's about ready to die. Life is going to end. And there in that moment, he says, here is what I'm going to do. With shouts of grateful praise. Wow. I don't know about you. I think in the darkest hours of life, it is a struggle to give any kind of praise. Why is it so hard to praise God in the difficult times? Well, it's simple. When we're in the difficult times, the one thing that we're concentrating on is the difficult moments, right? Our focus is all about what is going wrong. It's all about how bad things are going. It's all about woe is me. It's all about trying to determine how could it get any worse than this, so we don't come to this place where we go, God, I praise you in the midst of this because I know that this is too small for you. You know, it's amazing that in the time in which we live right now, We're facing some very difficult times. I don't know if you heard this last week, but when the new order came out that everything is supposed to go down to 25% capacity for restaurants and places of those types of establishments, they're saying that probably about 50% of all of them will close because they can't see themselves surviving. We're having conversations on an hourly basis, a daily basis, about what are the things that are right, the laws, the mandates, the issues, masks, no masks, personal meetings, things that should be done, things that shouldn't be done, safety, unsafe, all of these things. We're having strong feelings, strong debates, arguments, oppositions, relationships are being damaged. Why? Because we're doing one thing, we're focusing on the negative, not praising the God who is in control over all. Jonah is in the belly of the whale, and in the moment of his darkness, he says, I will, with shouts of grateful praise, I will praise my God. Imagine with me for the moment that if the church of God decided that instead of focusing on the darkness that is around us, we began praising the God of all creation. In Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 through 19, the prophet says, though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. You know, we may read something like that and go, okay, doesn't really apply all that much to us today. I mean, when not all of us are dealing with goats and things of that nature. Let me paraphrase it. Though I have lost my job due to the closings, my bank account is not where I want it to be because my paycheck has been reduced, though I am unable to do all the things I want to do and be required to do the things that I don't agree with, though I'm unable to spend time with those I love, and everything in my life is not where I had planned it to be on these days, I will still rejoice and praise my God because He is my strength and He gives me the strength for today. He is my sovereign God and I know that He has all this in His hands. I do not need to fear anything. But Pastor, you don't know. You don't know what I'm dealing with. I'm at the end of my rope. The things that I'm experiencing in my life are wrong. I've been wronged. I've been hurt. You know, my rights, all of these things. Look at Paul and Silas for a moment in Acts chapter 16. You know, one of the things I love is when I hear the complaining that I tend to do in my mind, you know, oh, that's wrong, that shouldn't have happened. I often find a passage of Scripture that really straightens it out for me. Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16 are thrown into prison. Why? Because they were telling people about the love of Jesus. They're chained to a wall. They're chained to one another. And oftentimes in these settings, they were even chained to other guards that were there. There was no way that they were getting out. And understand that the cells, the prisons that they were put in were nasty. They were not nice. They were often dingy, wet, musty, nasty, dirty. I mean, they were just gross places to be. People would die in these places. And here we see Paul and Silas. And it says in verse 25 of Acts 16, at about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. This has become a real conviction to me. Because it is easy for me, in the moments that I don't like what's going on, to begin to complain. It's easy for me to do the crying out to God, to say, this is wrong, this is horrible, this shouldn't be happening. And it's easy for me to say, this was wrong, I was wrong. And here it says that Paul and Silas, though they were wrong, though they did nothing that required or deserved what they had, there they were praying and singing hymns to God, songs of praise. You know, this is such an important aspect of coming out from rock bottom. When we can come to the place where we praise God, it has a way of impacting the way we look at things. Because if you remember, when we're dealing with difficult things, we're focusing on those difficult things, we're just going to keep hovering in the difficult because we can't get our focus off of it. But when all of a sudden we begin to praise, we begin to exalt God, all of a sudden we begin to see where God is at work. Now I can tell you this, 10 years from now, we will not remember a whole lot about today. I don't know if you saw the last song we sang, Salvation Belongs to Our God. Did anybody see the date on there? 1984. Yeah. Let me ask you this. Do you remember what you were doing on October 11th, 1984? Some of you are going, I wasn't alive. You know what?
Life is going to go on.
God is still going to do the amazing. God is still going to do the great things in the moments that we least expect it. God is worthy of our praise. Are you at rock bottom? Are you close to rock bottom? Start here. Start praising God. Watch what He does. But the last thing is this. Cry out to God. Jonah cries out to God. Jonah even praises God in the midst of it. But the third aspect of this, the third principle of coming out of rock bottom is simply this. Make necessary changes. Make the changes that we need to make. You know, this is the one that probably most goes unheeded in the life of the believer because we like to complain. We'll be okay with praising God, but then there's this point in time where we may struggle with making the necessary changes. Jonah, on the second half of verse 9 in the text of the morning, so he says, with shouts of praise, I will praise. Then he says, in the second part of verse 9, what I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. What I have vowed, I will make good. What does that mean? It's easy for us to say now because we know the end of the story, right? We know how it ends. It's easy for us to go, well, of course, Jonah was saying, God, when you let me out of here, I'm going to go and do what you told me to do. At this point in time, Jonah did not know what was going to happen. He thought he was fish food. But yet in the moment, there was a transformation of the heart of Jonah. Now, remember that in this particular situation, Jonah sinned. Jonah ran from God. Sometimes God brings those giant fish in our lives, the rock bottom, for corrective purposes. Tim talked about that a few weeks ago, that sometimes the storm comes for the corrective purpose. That's what this situation is here. Sometimes in our lives, we hit rock bottom because we brought ourselves to rock bottom, right? But then there's times where we don't necessarily bring ourselves to rock bottom. It can happen. You ever bargain with God? God, if you'll get me out of this situation, then I will. You know, I probably have done that more times than I admit. And then I follow it up with the next question, how many times did I follow through? That one is probably less than I'd like to admit. You know, we do that. We bargain with God. You know, we'll do the God, if you can change this, if you can take care of this, if you can get me out of this, then I will do this. Notice that Jonah doesn't put that stipulation on him. Jonah just simply says, I am making the change that I need to make. And one of the things that I found is no matter what is the reason for rock bottom, there is always room for change. There's always room for change. James tells us in James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25, it says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Simply put, when we know what is right, do what is right. If we need to make the changes, make the changes. Christian life is all about changes. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. It's a change. We are to live always becoming more like Christ. Even in Ephesians 4, verses 20 through 24, it says, that, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. You see the transition there? Make the change. This is who you were. This is who God desires us to be. I've found so many times that in the moments of the darkness, those times where we feel like we can't get out of it, are the moments that God wants to do the greatest change in my life. Those are the moments that He wants to mold me a little bit more to be just like Him. I can tell you that over the years of ministry in our life, there have been difficult days. There's been days that Lynn and I would be sitting in our living room or in a car or wherever we were at, seriously contemplating if we needed to continue in what we were doing. Days that we wanted to walk away from it. Simply say, we're done. We were at bottom. I look back on those days today, and as real as they were, the one thing that I can say, and I'm pretty sure that Lynn would agree with me on this, is they've changed who we are. God used those moments to grow our faith, to grow us in maturity. Not easy. Didn't like it. Still don't. Man, when God can change the heart, it's amazing what He can do. What's your struggle today? Have you hit the moments of the difficult? Many times what we tend to do is we try to find something to blame for the problems. We're good at that, aren't we? Blame game. You know, what if in the moments that we hit the bottom, we come to this realization, it's bottom. We cry out. In the midst of that, we sing praises, or we bring praises to God. We make the changes. Because let me tell you what happens. The end of the story. The last verse of the passage. Those three things. What happened? God commanded the big fish to vomit Jonah out on dry ground. I have my own idea about what happened here. I think the 3 days that Jonah was in the belly of the whale, God turned that whale around, brought him all the way back up. And where he spit him out on dry ground was where Jonah needed to be to accomplish what God had called him to do. It doesn't say it. That's the way our God works. He brings us back to where He can use us. And here's this whole thing. Jonah, out of his own thing, he goes to the bottom, but God brings him up and restores him to the place where God is ready to do the most amazing thing. And isn't that the greatest? When we go through the difficult days, the darkest days, God will use that dark day to bless the Lord. Are you in the darkness? Out to God. Praise Him in the midst. And look for ways in which you can change so that He can use you effectively for glory. Jesus, in moments like this, there are times that we can actually feel that there's no way that this could ever change. Things that we're experiencing are way beyond our own capabilities, and sometimes that's where we need to be. Lord, this morning, if there are those here in this building, or if there are those listening online who are at that moment where they just feel like the world is gone, just gone. In our lives, we just can't see that light at the end of the tunnel. Lord, would they come to that moment, forsaking everything else, cry out to You. Even in the quietness of this moment, may we cry out to our God, our Abba Father. Lord, remind us of the goodness and the greatness of who You are, that we can praise You in the midst of the storm. Lord, show us where and how we can change, not bargain, but change, so that we can be fully used for Your purposes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.